In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
The Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Don't forget, coming up at 8:25, we'll talk Washington Capitals hockey with Nick Dowd. So that's in just about 20-ish minutes. But right now, Dave Richard joins us, CBS Sports fantasy football expert. There are three ways to link up with Dave Richard and his fantasy football advice. On X, at Dave Richard. Live on YouTube every morning by searching for Fantasy Football Today, and three times per week on Fantasy Football Today on CBS Sports Network. Check your local listings. Dave, hello.
Gentlemen, we've reached week 12.
We have reached week 12, and the one of the two upcoming bye week apocalypses is upon us with six teams on bye.
Tough. Bynados, as we call them.
Bynados. Okay, I like that too.
Yeah. It's... you know, fewer syllables by apocalypse. But I think that if you're prepared, you should be good to go. But if not, there are going to be some options on the waiver wire. Some of them are going to be pretty gross, but hopefully you're one of those prepared fantasy managers. Hopefully you're one of those fantasy managers that's still in the hunt in your fantasy league. Even if you're 5-6, I've got one league where I'm 5-6. I'm still fighting for a playoff spot. You should be too.
Dave, I have to start Elijah Moore tonight. I'm not crazy about it. But what I do like is the fact that Jameis just chucks the ball all over the field whenever he gets a start. I think he's got 40, 40, and 46 attempts like in his last three games.
And I don't think that's going to change against Pittsburgh. The only way that does change is if the weather is bad. And I'm not one of these weather hawks that's on top of it every hour and freaking out about it. I take a much more casual approach. But if it's an hour before kickoff, and it's rain. There was rain in the forecast as of yesterday. There was snow in the forecast. Heavy, heavy winds. If all that is there, I might pivot because it could mean that both teams are going to have to run the ball more, certainly more than Cleveland would like at this point. Pittsburgh probably won't mind at all. In fact, Mike Tomlin said as much that in weather-type games, he's ready to roll with Najee Harris. It's something to keep an eye on if you plan on starting not only Moore, but also Tillman, Judy, and on the other side, George Pickens. They could all be impacted by the weather if it's really bad in Cleveland tonight.
Dave, who are the fantasy risers that may be available in leagues? I picked up Ladd McConkey. I was happy he was still available. He seems like he's been rising. Are there other guys that people should pay attention to?
Hold on. Let me just pump the brakes here. In what world in
10-team league
is Ladd McConkey just floating out on the waiver wire?
My league.
Yeah, I mean, is Justin Jefferson there too? Yeah, I mean, what's happening in that league?
That's a bizarre league. Bizarro world, Dave.
Yeah, so obviously if you can find a league where Ladd McConkey's there, that's great. But also, here are some guys that might be available in those 10-team leagues. Jerry Jeudy, weather provided, all that stuff for Cleveland. Romo Dunze, I think, is going to continue to see a lot of targets for Chicago, effectively be their number two wide receiver. You might find a Chris Olave out in the wild. He should be back at some point for New Orleans. We know that he's dealing with a concussion. And then two other wide receivers that I think you'll find in larger leagues are Christian Watson and Xavier Leggett. Watson last week, his route rate has actually been up the last two games, but last week caught four of four deep balls from Jordan Love against Chicago, had a big game, and I wonder if he's just going to continue to be thrust into this Green Bay offense. And Xavier Leggett should continue to see opportunities in Carolina. You can say the same thing for Adam Thielen. And then at tight end, Will Disley, Jonnu Smith, and a guy that you might only be able to use for a week, but in Dallas, Luke Schoonmaker. All three of those guys are getting targets. In the case of Disley, and I guess Jonnu, solid quarterback play along with them, and that's obviously a big factor as well. And Disley and Jonnu have been playing a lot more lately than they were earlier in the season. I think those are guys that can help you if you need a tight end or if you're a little desperate for a flex in week number 12.
Hey Dave, I'm guessing you're advising people to start all of their Commanders, green lights for all of those dudes with the Cowboys coming into town this weekend.
Well, you know, I don't know if I feel so good about Noah Brown or Chris Rodriguez or those types of fringe players who contribute to the offense but aren't necessarily going to get a ton of fantasy points. But yes, obviously, Jaden Daniels, Brian Robinson especially, think he could have a monster game. Austin Eckler behind him could be a borderline number two fantasy running back. Terry McLaurin, huge bounce back game. Zach Ertz should be fine. Yes, that matchup should be very favorable. But the commander squad that I like is the DST. Just the fact that you're going to be able to find them on the waiver wire. I think they were rostered in less than 50% of CBS Sports leagues going into the week. I'm curious what they're at now. This is Dan Quinn coaching against the offense that he practiced against for several years in Dallas. Usually when this situation happens, okay, a defensive coordinator coming back to take on his former team the following year, it's a bloodletting. There's absolute dominance by the defense against that offense. And now he gets this offense without Dak Prescott, without at least two starters on the offensive line potentially. The Commanders' defense could have a very, very good game.
All right, let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067, the MGM National Harbor listener lines. People are lined up to ask Dave fantasy questions.
All right, let's go to Eric in Orange. Hey, Eric, you're on with Dave Richard.
Buenos dias, junkies.
Dave. Hey, buddy.
PPR, need 2 out of 4. Neighbors, Kareem Hunt, Flowers, Debo. And Dave, through a fantasy lens, who would you say is the rookie of the year so far?
Ooh.
You know, we had this conversation on our podcast, and I don't think anybody was ready to hand it to anyone. I think it's down to either Daniels or Bo Nix, and it'll come down to how the season wraps up between those two. As for your question, I think the two that I would not start would be probably Neighbors and Debo. And I know it's weird to sit Neighbors, but the quarterback change I don't think is going to be particularly good for him. He hasn't been particularly great anyway over the last month or so. And then with Debo Samuel, just hasn't looked right, hasn't been as involved in the offense. I think Juwan Jennings is legitimately the better wide receiver in San Francisco moving forward.
He is. He is, unfortunately.
Good luck, Eric.
All right. Thank you, buddy. Let's go to Pastor Jacques. Hey, Pastor.
Pastor. Hey, brothers. Welcome to the brink of winter. Here we are, right?
Yep.
Hey, Dave, the question, it's a half point PPR. Just for volume base, so I continue to roll out with CeeDee Lamb, or would you pivot to either, Cakes brought him up earlier, Ladd McConkey, or maybe Calvin Ridley?
Yeah, I'm not quite there with McConkey or Ridley compared to CeeDee Lamb. It's close. I mean, McConkey certainly played well last week, and Ridley has huge upside. But CeeDee Lamb's going to continue to get a ton of targets. Most of them are going to be short targets. There's going to be a lot of passing by Dallas in every game moving forward, certainly this week against Washington. And they're not going to mind giving up those short throws to CeeDee Lamb. And Lamb does have the ability to take a short throw and turn it into a big play. So reluctantly, like, he's not a top 10 fantasy receiver, but he is still going to be in that top 15 range from week to week in full PPR and half PPR.
All right, Jack. Thank you, buddy. Let's go to Matt in Stafford. Matt, you're on with Dave Richard.
We all miss Bish Bucks, Jason Bishop. Is he still soliciting advice from you via text? What's his name programmed in your phone? And would you play Schoonmaker over Sam Laporta?
I'm always happy to help Bish out with his fantasy with his fantasy conundrums, and I think he's in my phone as Bish, B-I-S-H.
Yes.
There you go.
Very good.
I'm rolling with Laporta. I don't want to trust Schoonmaker. I know last week he stepped up, and you know, double-digit PPR points is always good from a tight end, but there's no guarantee he's going to do that again. Is he definitively going to be the number two target getter for Dallas? That's the question.
All right, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Dave. I got him.
Sure he was going to be.
He's not listening.
Yeah, he's just barely on forward.
I could be giving him a, like, you know, my stock option portfolio.
Yeah, he's not listening.
Dave, I'm listening to every word. I was just going to say, I got Laporta in my waivers ready to pick up and drop in soon.
So go get him.
Thank you.
So go get him. Right, I think it's easier in non-PPR than full PPR, but I think that Laporta makes sense.
Hey, right. Dave, I've got Hubbard and Pollard going against tough defenses. Do you play them, or I could roll out McConkey over one of those guys?
Yeah, I don't mind doing McConkey over Hubbard because I really am more, I'm nervous about that matchup. I'm more nervous for Chuba Hubbard than I am for Tony Pollard because in Carolina. They're saying that it's likely that Jonathan Brooks is going to play. I don't think Jonathan Brooks is going to come back and take, you know, half the workload away from Chuba Hubbard or anything like that. But I think he'll take maybe 5-6 touches, and volume is what's necessary for Chuba Hubbard to have a good game, especially against Kansas City. They're one of the best run defenses in the league. They're giving up somewhere around the neighborhood of 3.2 yards per carry against running backs on the season. So it's really a tough matchup for him, at least with Pollard. As long as there's no Tyjae Spears, you're going to see him get a lot of work. And Houston's run defense, it looked amazing, but that was against Dallas with the depleted offensive line. I think Pollard, even with his offensive line, it's not that great. He's going to get enough work to fall into modest fantasy production.
All right, let's go.
Best of luck.
David in Sterling. David, you're on with Dave Richard.
Good morning, gentlemen. Hello. And if I don't speak to you by next week, happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you too, bud.
Full PPR. I need two out of the three: Ridley, Devontae Smith, Jamison Williams.
Ridley is a must, and I think with LaPorta coming back, I think that hurts Jamison Williams a little bit, so I'd lean toward Devontae Smith, and the matchup is conducive for Smith for Philadelphia. They're taking on the Rams. Rams' run defense has been great. Rams' pass defense, terrible. So I think that there could be some opportunities for Devontae Smith to have some big game, from big numbers this week, I should say.
All right, good luck, sir.
Perfect. And a quick question for another league. I have either neighbors, because what you...
All right, go ahead, Kicks.
Wow. All right, speed round time. No stammering, stuttering, small talk, or shaky voice allowed. No dumb questions. No Bluetooth or speakerphones allowed. And don't disrespect Dave's advice. I hope the listeners are ready. Hope they're prepared.
All right, let's go to Corey. Speed round, go.
Pick three: Swift, Gibbs, Hunt, or Tracy.
I'm sitting Swift.
All right, let's go to Rich. Speed round, go.
Goff or Richardson? Good season today.
Goff.
Let's go to Warren. Speed round, go.
Kareem Hunt.
It's you got to have standards. You got to have rules, Valdez. Otherwise, society decays, falls apart.
Let's go to Brandon, D.C. Speed round, go.
Hey, what's up?
Brandon, come on. Get with the program.
Man, people are failing miserably today.
Yeah, it's not a great day for speed rounders.
Omer, speed round, go.
Murray or Herbert?
Murray.
All right, I think we've cleared out the lines. That's all we got.
Yeah.
People were not fully prepared for the speed round.
Had to hang up on too many. All right, thank you, Dave. Appreciate it, buddy.
I'm not sure if we're going to talk next week, but if we don't, happy Thanksgiving to you and your families, and may
likewise.
You crush it in fantasy this week.
Yep, let's hope that happens.
Well, I think we'll try and talk to you on Wednesday.
We'll figure something out.
We'll squeeze you in.
Good.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
All right, take it easy.
That's Dave Richard. You can follow him on X at Dave Richard Live on YouTube every morning by searching for Fantasy Football Today 3 times per week on Fantasy Football Today on CBS Sports Network. Coming up next, we will talk some Washington Capitals hockey with Nick Dowd. He'll join us next. It is an Open Line Thursday. You're welcome to call us throughout the show at 800-636-1067. That's the MGM National Harbor listener lines. They are wide open. Call us. You can talk about the Commanders-Dallas game. You can talk about the unfortunate Alex Ovechkin injury. You could give us Junkies hypotheticals. We haven't done those in a while.
Talk Wizards. Don't have the worst record in the Eastern Conference anymore.
Oh, very good.
Sixers lost again last night. That's a complete disaster what's happening in Philly.
Yep, it's not great.
Because Embiid doesn't play all the time. I think Paul George got hurt. Maxey's been out. They're supposed to be one of the best teams in the NBA.
Yep.
They're 2-12.
Yep. So you can call us on an Open Line Thursday. But joining us right now is Nick Dowd from your Washington Capitals. Nick, good morning. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good morning. How
are
we doing?
We are doing well. So, obviously, the huge story is the Alex Ovechkin injury suffered in the Utah game a few nights ago.
Yeah.
Take us through what, you know, once the collision happened with McBain, Ovi goes down on the ice, tried to come back and skate around a little bit, then had to go to the locker room. What was your reaction, the reaction of all your teammates seeing Ovi, who very rarely gets injured, you know, down on the ice and now sidelined for he's a week-to-week guy at this point.
Yeah, I think when we saw Ogo down and he stayed down for as long as he did, and then he couldn't finish the game. I think we realized that probably something pretty good that was bugging him. Like you said, he hasn't missed a lot of time in his career, which is pretty special. It's hard to do, especially the way that he plays the game. It was tough to see. Hopefully we'll be getting him back sooner than later.
You scored in that game, right? It was one of the two goals in 10 seconds bit?
Yep. That's why I play with good line mates.
I want to just get back to Ovi for a second. So I heard he was like on crutches and everything. When you see him, are you encouraged or?
Obviously not encouraged from the fact that he's injured by any means. But
that he could come back sooner than we might think?
Yeah, I think at any point, right when you get injured, your immediate thought is, all right, how long is this going to take?
Yeah.
I think every person's different. Obviously these injuries, they happen, right? What? I know, sorry, that's my daughter. She's yelling at me.
All good, man.
I think once it gets assessed, I hear you. Once it gets assessed, I think we're all, obviously upset. We're upset for O. The guy was on fire as well, which is not only tough for a team, but individually, I thought he was playing really well. I think with the diagnosis and then seeing how long it's going to take, I think it was encouraging all in all for what happened.
So what do you attribute his success this year to versus like last year? Is it just simply like a little puck luck? Like, he was ripping shots last year and they just weren't going in for whatever reason, bizarre. And this year they are? Like, what is it?
No, I don't know. It's hard to say. O is a guy that regardless of the game plan against him, and regardless of everybody in the entire arena knowing what's going to happen, he's still been able to score goals. So I think, last year he still finished with over 30 goals, which is really impressive. And I think what people forget to understand is like when teams come into either playoffs or we go play them, everybody's mind is on Ovi and they're on how do we prevent O from scoring? So he's been dealing with that his entire career, where he's still been putting up big numbers despite teams doing their best effort to control him not scoring. In my opinion, he's the best goal scorer the game's ever seen. And I just think guys like that, like put it this way, for example, if I score a goal in a game, I'm pretty happy about that from a standpoint of like, oh, okay, I got one. Like, if the rest of the game goes pretty well and you end up with one goal, everyone's happy. Always the guy where it's like he scores one, he wants like four. I think that's probably the difference. I mean, it's hard to stop a guy when he's that hungry.
Nick, did you and your teammates think that knee-to-knee contact from McBain to Ovi, did you think it was dirty and or reckless? Because we had Coach Carberry on a couple days ago, and reckless was the word that he used to
but he didn't think
describe
it was intentional.
It. Right.
Yeah. I don't think it was intentional by any means, no.
Did you think he had to take a beating, though?
there's a pretty good code in hockey. Willie's one of the best at it. And I think when your captain goes down, it probably has to be addressed. And, I think we're all really fortunate that we have Willie on our team to take care of stuff like that. So
you got two games at home coming up, Colorado tonight. Fill us in on your prep for Colorado.
Yeah, a team that we obviously have played very recently, so that's good. There's going to be a lot of clips that we're going to be able to pull from. Like I said, from our previous game where we all played very well. I think they have some really, really elite players. I mean, obviously Nathan MacKinnon is probably one of the best in the game and probably one of the fastest players that we see all year. So he definitely is going to need some special attention. And then their power play. I mean, their power play has been really, really good as of late. And even when we played them, our goalies made some really big saves that kept them off the board. So I think one of the biggest things will be staying above. And what I mean by that is staying above their speed. And when you're on the ice, kind of being able to scope take a look around and see where they're bringing speed from and try and stay above and limit that speed, because it's really challenging when they get the puck into certain guys' hands that have speed, and you kind of feel like you're backing up, you're on your heels, and all of a sudden they're into your zone and they're creating scoring chances. So I think stay off the penalty kill, and then limit their ability to gain speed.
Joined by Nick Dowd from the Washington Capitals. So I felt bad for you a couple days ago, Dowder, when I saw the video. I think it was after the win against Vegas, where they're scanning around the locker room, and your face just looks banged up from taking your nose got broken in the Maple Leafs game, and you just look like you've been through it, man. But you're a tough hockey player. You came back after that. Like, give us the status on the nose. What does your wife think of the face at this point? Give us a status update.
What, on the status update on the face?
Yeah.
Well, definitely happy we got our Christmas cards taken before.
That's hilarious. Smart.
No question.
Good.
No question.
Good.
Yep. Yep. Let's see. I've been wearing the breathe rights pretty regularly.
Mm-hmm.
I've been wearing the breathe rights pretty regularly because it's been hard to get any oxygen up there. Of course, we fly to Colorado, thinnest air in the country. That was good.
Right.
We're getting back to normal. I had the raccoon eyes going for a little bit, those are now dissipating. So all in all, not too bad with a broken nose. I could have gone without the flight and the pressure and the mile high air in Denver. That would have been nice. But, I guess I play a sport where walking around your place of business, people aren't going to look at you crazy when you have two black eyes and a broken nose. So
what was done to the nose in the movies or TV? We've seen like people just get their nose, like they just kind of snap it back in place. Like what was done?
Yeah, I actually had to have a guy run from the complete opposite side of my body and put it back into place and kind of hit the same hit that was done on me. No, I'm just kidding. We didn't do that, but, it wasn't displaced. Cause I think most people think of broken noses, they're kind of on the side of your face.
Yeah. Right.
Mine wasn't like that. Those got to be snapped into place, and it's pretty painful. They, might require surgery, whatever. Mine luckily was, just broken kind of on like the mid and the top. The cartilage and stuff was probably fractured and cracked. I've done it once before, so probably hard to tell, what's new and what's old. All in all, I think that, I've just never been hitting the nose that hard, to be honest, in my life. So my eyes were tearing up. I was like trying to, worried about if I was going to have a concussion or not. And we did the concussion protocol and we got that out of the way, and I've had concussions in the past, so I kind of know exactly what I'm feeling when they happen. And I was really happy that I felt good other than, my nose. But, I got my wife already. I got my two kids. So Christmas cards are over. So I guess they don't get to look too good.
Dowder, were you upset that there wasn't a penalty called there, that it was called an inadvertent hit? I saw Carberry basically, he wanted there to be a major penalty, like a 5-minute penalty called there. It wasn't, but it was actually nice that, is it Matthew Knies or Knies? I'm not sure how to pronounce his name. I guess he did apologize
Knies,
to you.
Yep.
Knies, that he said it was inadvertent. He didn't mean to injure you and hit you basically in your face.
Yeah, I mean, I was definitely upset that there wasn't a penalty called. I mean, I think, obviously, being the fact that how I felt and the hit that I took, it would have been nice for our team to have a little bit of an advantage for me to have to go through that. But I don't think he's the type of player that's going out of his way to injure players by any means. I mean, he did apologize, which, good on him, but still, I mean, I guess I still definitely think it was probably a penalty, and I think it's kind of some of the stuff we're trying to eliminate, right, is head contact, and, I think incidental or not, I think there's not a lot of guys that'll honestly say, like, oh, yeah, like, I was aiming for his head, right? Like, I mean, guys are trying to make contact with people and they incidentally catch their head. Right. I mean, that, and then most guys feel pretty bad about it. And, even the ones that result in penalties and suspensions, you know, it's kind of like guys put themselves in a tough spot. Guys go to make a hit. Everything kind of goes wrong. The person, you know, kind of takes the checker kind of takes takes maybe a path that puts him in a bad spot. And then you're, you know, you kind of end up with what happened with me and then maybe even worse. So, but yeah, I mean, it is what it is. It's past now. It's no big deal. I definitely don't think he was trying to injure me by any means, but, you know, maybe a penalty, sure.
So Nick, what is the challenge here in the next, hopefully it's just a couple of weeks or less, without Ovi? How do you make up for that kind of leadership, scoring, enthusiasm, all of that he brings?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a group effort for sure. O is, you know, hottest guy in the NHL coming in and leaving that game. So you know, it's going to be tough to replace three goals every game like he was, you know, basically clipping away at. So yeah, we're going to have to definitely do it by committee. I think we're going to need some guys to step up. Well, we're going to need everyone to step up, but, you know, filling those, 15 goals that he has right now is going to be challenging. And then obviously not having our captain in the locker room is obviously tough too. I think when guys come into Capital One and they're playing Ovi, it's a pretty big deal for a lot of players, and not having him on the ice, you know, is going to have its challenges, but we've been there before. The one thing that I can say about this group, you know, obviously the guys that were here last year and the year before, is that we've dealt with a ton of injuries, and not only to guys that, you know, were first year guys, but, you know, Osh was injured for a long time. Backe was injured for a long time. John Carlson was injured for a long time. Tom Wilson was injured for a long time. Over the last 2-3 years, we've had some of our top guys, leaders, you know, and all the way down to rookies that have been injured for long periods of time. And I think that has caused guys in our organization to have to play, you know, fill roles that they weren't necessarily ready to fill, which I think coming into this year has been really beneficial, because we have some young guys, also guys throughout the entire lineup, but especially young guys that understand how to do that now, because they've been forced to play those roles because we've had so many injuries. So I think, you know, we're going to be in good shape, but we'll be happy to have him back for sure.
Dowder, good to talk to you, man. Best of luck against the Lanch tonight at Capital One. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Yep, that's Nick Dowd from your Washington Capitals. When we come back, is it possible the old Redskins logo is coming back? We will discuss that next here on The Fan. Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan, the Team 980 as well. So I mentioned the possibility of the old Redskins logo coming back. There's been some discussion of this of late, and we're going to play an audio clip. This is from, is it Senator Daines? I want to make sure I'm getting his name correct and his title correct.
It's a senator from Montana.
Yeah.
Who was a fly in the ointment for a while.
It sounds like he still is.
So here's audio of him talking about the possibility of, and it's from Fox News, of the logo coming back.
The irony that they were canceling Native American culture as the DEI movement went way too far. Look, this is honoring a Blackfeet chief who was born in Montana. He's highly esteemed. The Blackfeet Tribe of Montana, their current chairman and the tribal council, signed a letter in strong support to bring the logo back. It honors Indian country. So we've had good discussions with the NFL and with the Commanders. There's good faith negotiations going forward that's going to allow this logo to be used again. Perhaps revenue is going to a foundation that could help Native Americans in sports and so forth. We're making good progress. And based on the good faith negotiations, I made a decision to support this bill yesterday in the committee.
I know that they put a plaque up in Northwest Stadium honoring Wetzel and the logo. It'll be great to see it back on the helmets again.
I love the logo. I love the name. We lost the battle. If they bring back the logo, just bring back the name. Why not?
I find it hard to believe that the logo would be brought back and that they would still then be called the Commanders.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, how does that make sense? To me, that makes no sense. Like, I agree. Like, if you're bringing the logo back,
bring it all back.
Just get the whole band back together.
Yeah. I mean, what are we doing? Listen, I think it's silly, but, you know, we're in a weird world. And, you know, political correctness or whatever, and companies feel comfortable or uncomfortable about certain things. And we lost the battle.
I mean, just in the last week, I've talked to at least two or three people who've said they'll never call the team by the new name.
Yeah,
I reference them as the prior name.
Yeah,
like I just
call them Skins.
Yeah,
but that's changing as people get older and new fans come in
to an extent. But some of the fans that are our age, maybe a bit older,
sure,
like. Still not huge fans, obviously, of the Switch.
I went to the Steelers game. The place was packed. Now it was packed with a lot of Steelers fans. Sure. And we've been talking about this now for several months. The Jaden Daniels impact, the impact of winning. You're seeing more and more gear out there.
Mm-hmm.
You see a lot of hats with the W
no
logo.
Doubt. Yeah. No doubt.
But again, if somehow the old logo was reintroduced, then you can't stick with Commanders as the name.
They're now, not going to reintroduce the logo.
I don't think they're going to pull it off. Either.
I think it's a little bit of a pipe dream. Yeah. But if they were, just say hypothetically, they brought the old logo back and slapped it on the side of the helmet, you can't call them the Commanders.
Here's the problem
with that logo.
And this is why.
It's bizarre.
Hold on. Why couldn't they? Nobody even knows what a Commander is.
I mean,
the Commander and the Redskins name aren't. Partners. They can do one without the other. Redskins' name, we all know, is never coming back.
Right.
This is different. This is just talking about the logo that has a very direct connection to that tribe and to the football team. There's no slur with the logo. If the tribe gives their blessing for the logo and says, this is what we want, it honors Blackie Wetzel, then what's the problem?
But they would... I just think it doesn't make sense with the current name. They'd have to be rebranded because it's like the Washington Burgundy and Gold.
Don't make
Washington
me defend
whatevers.
The people that lobbied to change the name, because I think it's insanity. If you don't like the name, don't support the team. But unfortunately, they got to our sponsors, and the sponsors were too skittish, and they were threatening to pull, and that's what happened. We lost the battle. But the minority that was upset said they didn't want any Native American imagery, right? You can't have that logo. That's Native American imagery.
But that's not your logo. That's the tribe's logo. That's honoring a person from that tribe. It's just like the Seminole tribe. That's why they get away with it.
Yeah, I think people are much more offended by Redskins, the name, than they are by the logo.
My understanding is, and listen, I think it's if you don't like it, don't support it. But my understanding was they don't want to be used as a logo. Like, they feel like they're being, like, you know what I'm saying? Like
trivialized.
Exploited. Yeah. Like, they don't want to be someone's logo.
I just don't think the organization would want a callback of any point. They can put something in the stadium, but they don't want a callback to a bygone era.
I don't know if I fully agree with that, because, I mean, Josh Harris grew up a Redskins fan. He grew up here as a Redskins fan. So
yeah, and all things being equal,
he might not admit it, but part of him might be like, you know what? I love that. I love that logo and the way it looks on the helmet.
True,
and I would welcome that back as part of the rebrand.
JP, if that was true, then you would argue they'll never go back to RFK. All things being equal, so if they had the same amount of money,
RFK thing is a different thing, because I do think
that's a bygone era,
right? But it would be a new stadium, and that's about making money. Which is different.
Well, you think it wouldn't make more money if they brought back the old logo?
Right, but
I think if they bring back the logo, then the pressure is going to be to change the name.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they want to do that.
I don't think
I have a bet with you in the book. I don't believe they're going to change
I think
the
bet is, I bet that by the beginning of the 2027 season, they'll have rebranded to something.
I feel like they're going to be the Commanders for the next 50 years.
I don't think so. I'm still holding on to that. Still grasping.
All right, let's ban a few calls. Let me see here. Let's go to Richmond John. John, what's up?
Hey, boys. Love you guys, by the way.
Thank you. John.
So they've got to bring back the logo for a lot of reasons. But I think they'll probably start with the logo, then change the name, and then, you know, meanwhile, the stadium's going to be built. Because Tim Hightower's been working on relations with those veterans, right? But have you noticed when the veterans talk, like Doc Walker or B. Mitch, and by the way, he's not on a list for a semifinalist for the Hall of Fame, right? But if you want to erase the past, you can't erase the past, you know, and they keep telling you, hey, we're going to bring elements of the past back. But if you completely get rid of all the elements from the past, you can't make that connection. So John Paul's right. He sees it as, well, they're going to be the Commanders for the next, you know, 30, 40, 50 years, whatever. But I don't think that's sustainable. And you know, that stadium was infiltrated by Steelers fans.
Yeah.
So at least half the fan base sort of feels disconnected.
And but I think it's going to change. I mean, we'll see what happens with this Dallas game. I think over time, there are going to be less and less opposing fans in the stadium because the demand of the local fans is going up. So that opposing fans aren't going to be able to get in there.
With JP, they were 7-2. They've got
but those tickets were sold
like
a long time ago, John.
And still infiltrated.
John, the tickets were sold long before Jaden made his debut. So that's the argument. The tickets were sold long before. Next year, that same situation.
But
they
keep telling us the same thing over and over, Eric, and I just don't buy it. You can't make a connection to the past and erase all the elements from the past. And if there's any time to do it, you know better than most. Look at the paradigm shift. If there's any time to do it, now's the time to do it.
So. Listen, I'm for. I would wholly endorse bringing the whole thing back, but I just don't see it as a practical thing. I mean, I just don't see it. It just takes one or two companies to boycott. And then, you know, what if Northwest Stadium's boycotts? Now they lost their stadium money.
Well, remember, you know, also,
I mean,
too,
I think it's terrible, but
part of the big boycott was led by, is it Fred Smith?
Yeah.
The owner of FedEx.
Yeah.
Right.
And he had
beef with Dan.
Issues with Dan Snyder.
Yeah.
So that was really what kind of got the ball rolling as far as like corporations threatening to boycott, pulling their money. Like that was a personal like vendetta between Smith and Snyder. That no longer exists.
But people like B. Mitch get affected because he should be in the Hall of Fame. But if you start erasing everything, including the logo and any elements of the past, you're doing those veterans a disservice, not just the fan base.
Well, I don't think that Brian hasn't gotten the call yet. And I think Brian will get the call and deserves the call. It's only a matter of time. I don't think it's because he's associated with the name. Do you?
I hope not.
I don't think so.
No, I'm just saying that if you just erase the elements and change it, because, and J.P. Finley hates this, but it's an expansion franchise slapped with burgundy and gold paint. I mean, you gotta solidify the brand, we're not getting anything public in terms of what the direction is and solidifying a brand. You know,
all right. Thank you, John.
Anyway,
thank you.
Love you, boys.
All right.
Thank you. I will say it is annoying when sometimes you'll see old clips of the Redskins, and like they're blurring out the helmets, or like they've completely erased the logo from the helmet.
Yeah,
like that to me, that's insanity. And I credit Harris and Company, like when they redid the suite to honor Daryl Green, they had him in his Redskins uniform because he played his entire career as a Washington Redskin.
Right,
like you can't just completely whitewash all of that history away. And I know some elements are trying to do that.
Yeah, I don't think they've at least said to us publicly over the last year and a half, or privately, that they want to kind of dance that line.
Right.
They want to still have callbacks. They still want to have, you know, Redskin logo and jerseys and stuff. I'm getting a Charlie horse right now. I'm talking. They still want to have that throughout the stadium, in the suites and stuff like that.
But you look like you're about to fall off your chair.
I'm not.
You're about to slide off.
I got a huge knot right in my hamstring.
Let me ask you a question. If the Commanders wanted to bring back the old logo and honor the Blackfeet tribe and John Whitecalf, I believe, is the likeness of who the logo was after, what say do other Native Americans have about it? What say do the Navajo or the Cherokee
or
the Apache have over honoring another tribe?
I don't know. There were tribes that wanted the name to stay. They lost.
I'm just saying, if they tie it directly to that tribe, nobody else can say S. It's not about you.
Right. If that tribe is given the blessing and they're good with it, I don't see a problem with it, personally.
Neither do I. Bring the logo back. The name's different.
Bring it back.
The name's different. The logo is perfect.
I actually don't think the name's different. Because nobody means it offensively. Nobody. And if you happen to be offended, be offended. But nobody's intending to offend you. But I don't think the name's coming back.
All right, we'll continue to take your calls next on the MGM National Harbor listener lines at 800-636-1067. We want your input on the possibility of the old logo for the Commanders, formerly the Redskins, returning. 800-636-1067. We'll take your calls on that next here on The Fan.